This is Tupelo Honey from the Bard of Belfast, Van the Man Morrison. We'll get back to our conversation with Lance Simmons, who has served two U.S. presidents, two U.S. senators, two prominent governors, the Senate Budget Committee, for the last 40 years working in public service, and has penned 180 articles for the Huffington Post. In his most recent article, Why Our Children Should Hate Us, which in part applauded a controversial documentary film, Vaxxed, from cover-up to catastrophe, that was banned by the Huffington Post. And we'll get to your questions and comments for Lance in just a moment. I want to mention again our webmaster tonight, Greg Bishop, doing yeoman's duties, posted some top drawer material on the Coast to Coast AM.com website, including a rather peculiar video from the Eastern European nation of Belarus, which shows numerous glowing orbs appearing and then disappearing from multiple angles over the city of Minsk. And the enigmatic footage first captures the phenomenon taking place near a highway in the city with one identified object, joined by additional craft, until there are six in total. And then eerily, the multiple lights eventually coalesce into one single orb, which then disappears from the sky. And again, you can check out the video for yourself. It's posted in the highlights section at coasttocoastam.com. ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com now has, get this, over 45,000 members. They're inching closer, ever closer to the big 46,000 number, and it's completely free to peruse. You use the discount code GEORGE if you want to get further involved. And the service is also available for free on the iOS and Android apps. Check out the new companion site as well, conspiracydate.com. ParanormalDate.com. Remember, you're not alone. All right, your questions and comments for Lance Simmons when Coast to Coast AM continues in mere moments. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett joining you from Coast's Toronto affiliate talk radio, AM 640. Lance Simmons is with us. The author of a recent article banned by the Huffington Post, Why Our Children Should Hate Us. People are lined up with questions and comments, Lance. But before that, I mentioned something before the break, and that has to do with, where is that line when people's dissatisfaction, distrust with institutions that are sort of the bedrock of our civilization, when that starts to erode, where is that line where it becomes a dangerous thing? And are we there yet?
My own personal opinion is that we're there, Richard. I think if you look at the current presidential election, you will see both on the left and the right side of the political spectrum, total disenchantment with what can only be described as dysfunctional government and dysfunctional leadership, particularly on the part of the folks that we elect, not only at federal level but in local level as well. And you're seeing both on the left and the right an absolute clamor for change, and an absolute clamor that the status quo, continuation status, is not good enough. And where we have a potential to really cross over the line, and I wrote an article in Huffington Post just last week, actually, entitled No Change is Not an Option. And where we cross over the line, in my humble estimation, is unless we see, and not only perceive, but actually see positive change, we're going to have more people either dropping out or making irrational decisions. So my argument, and of course I'm coming at it from a liberal perspective, from a liberal democratic perspective, so I'll put that disclaimer out there. But my position is that we can't have no change, but we can't just accept change for the sake of change. And so what I find really somewhat disturbing is I'll hear, particularly amongst the millennials, which I'm the father of two millennials, I'll hear, well, you know, if Bernie Sanders doesn't get the nomination, the Democratic presidential nod, we're going to vote for Donald Trump. And I scratch my head and go, well, we're talking about two individuals who are basically about 180 degrees from one another on the ideological spectrum. And what comes back is the retort, no, 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 you don't understand. We're voting for change. And I say, well, change in and of itself is not always a good thing. You can have positive change or you can have negative change. And so we may be in a position here in this upcoming election cycle of seeing the clamor for change, just for change sake, overtake rationality and maybe even ending up with negative change instead of positive change.
Now, this show isn't about, you know, Trump versus Sanders, but let me just throw this out there. And that is, from a distant observer, someone sitting up here in Canada who cannot vote, I almost can see the rationale with the millennials. If I can't vote for Sanders, I'll vote for Trump, because as strange as it may sound, actually, they're both economic nationalists and both actually have some commonality in terms of foreign policy, a complete divergence away from sort of the two-headed monster that is the War Party, which is, you know, it's Republicans and it's the Democrats from, you know, Bush, Clinton, Bush. It's a continuum in terms of foreign policy. There's no difference. But both Sanders and Trump are offering an entirely new path in terms of foreign policy. So maybe the millennials are sort of seeing that. And they're both definitely economic nationalists. However, let's go to the phones and we'll begin west of the Rockies. Bob is a professor at Irvine University, or University of California, Irvine, a professor of ethics. Bob, welcome to Coast AM. You're on the line with Lance Simmons. Go ahead.
Thank you. First, I'm actually a professor of medicine. I'm working on an ethics book for health professionals. The first comment, what a great show. Host Richard Serrett, thank you.
Thank you.
Lance, I'd like to thank you for, I've underlined courageously, educating the show's listeners on a problem that I think goes way beyond just government and journalism, and even threatens our future, really. Huffington Post is blessed to have you as a writer.
One theory,
and I'm going to want your comment on this, I can take it off the air, is that people who are activists for social change have focused on populating positions of power, not just in government, but also education and in popular organizations. And once they're there, they use essentially all the tools that they can to press their agendas on the world. Instead, working on an ethics book, I can make this comment, I think, they should be ethically performing their duties unselfishly, really, to serve our interests. I think it appears to be about ambition, control, and domination instead of ethical service. And if you'd prefer, I can hang up and listen to your comment off the air.
Appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. Great question. Go ahead, Lance.
Yeah, thanks, Bob, for the compliments. And let me just say that I think that, and I outlined this pretty extensively in my first book, The Evolution of a Revolution, An Attack Upon Reason, Compromise, and the Constitution, what I talk about is the reason we're in this dysfunctional funk, as you've identified, and pushing your own agenda, because we've lost the concept, our leaders have lost the concept in the public interest. I talked a little bit about this, about the balance between public and private interest. And if you are a public servant, or if you have any noble conception whatsoever of public service, that means to serve the public. And the public interest is what is being lost when people get involved in their own private agendas or in the outsized influence of private sector influence on public policy decisions.
All right. Before we get back to the calls, I want to throw something else out here. And you worked in government for 40 years. You worked with, as we mentioned, two former presidents, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, governors, senators. Isn't the principle of the noble lie? Plato talked about it. Leo Strauss, who is sometimes referred to as the grandfather of the neoconservative movement. The noble lie, where governments, politicians, leaders know better than the great unwashed, so sometimes they need to lie to their people for the greater good. I'll give you an example. The New York Times recently quoted Ben Rhodes, who's President Obama's deputy national security advisor for strategic communications, and he admitted that the Obama administration lied to the American people, Congress, our allies, and used the media, played the media to spin the Iran nuclear deal. So as someone who was inside a government, let me ask you, I mean, how often does this sort of thing go on?
Well, hopefully it doesn't go on very often at all, because I have accepted the fact that we live not in a democracy, but we live in a representative democracy, and therefore the way that our government put together, and I think the genius of the founding fathers in this was to put a government together which relies on the expertise of those that we elect to positions to represent us. Now, one of the primary issues that I've talked about is the distinction between leadership and statesmanship. And the difference is leaders can be good leaders or bad leaders, but statesmen employ, just by its very definition, employ vision and wisdom. And if we elect statesmen, statespersons, to positions of authority, then they will not feel the need to lie to us, because they'll have the faith and confidence of the electorate that they're making decisions which are in their best interest.
There's an old saying, and that is, when a government fears the people, that's democracy. And when the people fear the government, that's tyranny. Where are we at in the United States? Or let's say North America.
I think there is a tremendous amount of fear, anger, and frustration in the American electorate. And I think that to a large extent, it is warranted, and it's warranted because of poor leadership, and it's warranted because of an inertia that has overtaken our political system here and our systems of governance. And, you know, when I first entered politics in the late 70s, working for Jimmy Carter, I was absolutely astounded as a youngster, at watching the give and take in the United States Senate. But watching that give and take, no matter how rough it got in the public arena, watching it all come together behind the scenes and watching stuff actually get done. In fact, one of the things which led me to go into politics in the first place was because of my belief that government could be a very effective and constructive force in helping to shape progress in our society. And I believe that we have lost our way in that respect, at least in America here in the United States, and that the public is clamoring for people to right that ship.
East of the Rockies, Charles is in Logan, Ohio. Charles, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you. Thank you. Number one, great to have Coast to Coast in this forum to speak on. We're all in agreement by saying different things. This Lance calls himself a liberal progressive. I've always thought of myself as a conservative Republican. But here's the trick, boys. Democrat or Republican, the whole entire government has become corrupt. They've had their nose in the pig trough so long that they've forgotten their first and primary responsibility of putting America and America's interests first. So I'm sad to say that Democrat or Republican, the whole system has become corrupted by bribes and payoffs. And we need to eliminate the whole thing. If we had a 12-year term limit, as we should have, two-thirds of the Congress would not be eligible to be reelected. So term limits is a big deal. But again, America's interest. And again, I'm saying it doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. It's the people today against the government. And they've put themselves in that position by their bribes and their takeoffs and not putting America and America's interests first.
All right, Charles, thank you for that. Let's get Lance in here for a comment.
I think I touched upon this earlier. I'm not so sure. Well, first of all, let me agree that there is systematic or structural corruption built into the system, regardless of political party or even of ideological bent. I do believe, however, that the dysfunction in government is an asymmetrical dysfunction, and that I think it is safe to say, as Norm Ornstein and Thomas Mann did in their book a couple years ago, it's even worse than it looks. And these are two really acknowledged scholars, one very conservative and one very liberal, who say that the Republican Party is probably more responsible for the dysfunction than the Democratic Party. I don't want to get into that here. You know, leave it for what it's worth. I do believe that both parties need to get reeducated on this notion of public service. And we need to do everything we can to eliminate the imbalance that has been created between the public sector, the public interest, and the private interest. And I think therein lies the root of the corruption.
All right. Thank you for the call, Charles. We are heading into another break shortly, and we'll keep on rolling with the questions and comments for Lance Simmons. Let me just say this, from my perspective, for what it's worth, I sort of see the problem thusly. You know, we keep voting for change, and we never get change, and we wonder, why don't we get the change we vote for? And that is because the system is designed, and when I say the system, I mean governance. That's North American-wide, maybe worldwide, wherever we have this ugly, messy thing called democracy. And that is that the system is designed for continuity. So we think we have a choice, Republican, Democrat, Independent. Up here it's conservative, liberal, new Democrat. But essentially it's an illusion. Who we're voting for are soap salesmen, but they're all working from the same script. They have to have continuity. So you're going to get the same foreign policy whether you vote Democrat or Republican. You're going to get the same tax scheme, more or less, whether you vote liberal or conservative. What do you think, Lance? Am I naive, paranoid, somewhere in between?
No, I think you raised a very good point here, and that is that our system, at least here in the United States and probably elsewhere in democratic systems, but certainly here in the United States, our system is built upon checks and balances and a very deliberative, a very conscious effort not to be able to swing too widely as in parliamentary systems. And that lends itself to not getting very fast or dramatic change from election to election.
Okay, I got to jump in, Lance. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. More calls, questions for Lance Simmons. Why our kids should hate us. Banned by the Huffington Post. Back with more on Coast to Coast AM. And these are the Noisettes, Never Forget You. And this is not a Motown recording from 1965. This is a very recent recording from this independent band out of, I believe, London. London, England. And speaking of London, webmaster Greg Bishop at it again. A busy guy tonight. He's posted a remarkable news story originally published in the Daily Mail of London Scientists, get this, scientists are working on a device that eavesdrops on the voices in your head. The mind-reaching machine could soon turn your secret thoughts into speech. A mind-reaching machine that could translate thoughts into speech coming closer to reality. And the research has been going on for several years. And recently, scientists successfully managed to play back a word that someone is thinking by monitoring their brain activity. I kid you not. While there remains a long way to go, they say this could help victims of stroke and other speech paralysis issues to communicate with their loved ones. Now, the unstated purpose, I'm guessing, could be to read our private thoughts. Wouldn't police interrogators, IRS agents, the NSA love to get their hands on this hardware if they haven't already got it? If you're paranoid, raise your hand. If you can perform telekinesis, raise my hand. Listen, have you caught George Norrie's Beyond Belief TV? If you love Coast to Coast, I know you're going to love George Norrie's internet TV show Beyond Belief. It's just like Coast, except with video. You can sign up for just 99 cents for the first month at beyondbelief.com and enjoy hours of fascinating past shows. Beyond Belief TV, a new episode coming your way Wednesday, June the 1st. This one's called Small Town Monsters, featuring Seth Breedlove. Discover the strange creatures from eyewitness accounts and amateur video which terrify small towns across the country. To start watching episodes of Beyond Belief TV right now, visit beyondbelief.com. Just a reminder, at the top of the hour, past life regression therapist Dr. Elena Gabor will be with us. And then in the final hour, a past life regression performed live on the air as we work without a net on Coast to Coast. When we come back, more of my conversation with Lance Simmons, the author of an article recently censored, banned by the Huffington Post, titled Why Our Children Should Hate Us. And part of the rationale for banning it was because in this article, Lance applauds this controversial new film called Vaxxed, From Cover-Up to Catastrophe. And we'll continue that conversation and get to your calls as well when Coast to Coast returns in mere moments. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you live from Coast's Toronto affiliate, Talk Radio, AM 640. Lance Simmons is with us, worked for several two presidents, two governors, the Senate Budget Committee in policy. And since his retirement after 40 years, is now writing. He's written 180 articles for the Huffington Post, but they censored his most recent offering, which is titled Why Our Children Should Hate Us. And in part, in the article, he applauds this controversial new film that was recently dropped from the Tribeca Film Festival lineup, and that's Vaxxed, directed by Dr. Andrew Wakefield, he of the supposedly discredited Lancet Medical Journal study on the link between the MMR vaccine and autism. And let's go back to the phones, and is it Myatt in New York City on the wildcard line? Is it Myatt?
Yes, you have it perfectly.
Hi, Myatt.
Thank you so much for this program. It's such a significant discussion. And Lance, I find you refreshing. As a progressive myself, I'm just too many right-wing voices, right of center, and it keeps us from coming together and seeing our common issues and goals. But anyway, I want to also clarify that about 50% of people, you were going in the right direction, Richard. 50% of people convicted in this obscene prison industrial complex are convicted for conspiracies, and some of them, of course, at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I also wanted to share before a brief two-part question, something that James Tracy, had the opportunity to bring him on air a few years ago around Sandy Hook and to co-host that program. And he explained that conspiracy theory is a weaponized term, meaning that the CIA created the term when people were starting to investigate the JFK assassination and weren't going with the party line. So I think, Richard, you made some good points, and you too, Lance. But my question is, where can we see the article lands, and also for the writers out there and aspiring writers, I'd like you to share some secrets or tips, what type of articles that, you know, if we go to a certain archive, what you might be planning in the future, and just some general tips maybe around discipline or, you know, how you get your writing done, and I'll listen over the air. Thank you so much for this program.
All right, Maya, a lot of questions there on the table. Lance, let's start with where people can find this article. I mean, it has been reposted in many, many places.
Yeah, thanks, Richard. You can find, actually, if you Google me at Lance Simmons, which is S-I-M-M-E-N-S, you can find the article on my Google page. You can also go to L.A. Progressive Magazine. Just Google L.A. Progressive Magazine, and you can find it there. Or you can go on Cheryl Atkison, and it's S-H-A-R-Y-L-A-T-T-K-I-S-S-O-N, and you can find it on her blog post. So there are numerous places you can find this. As far as the question on other writings or future writings, I would be remiss if I didn't add, and this would also be particularly important to Maya, who's from New York, that I have written an anti-fracking novel. It's called Fractured, F-R-A-C-K-T-U-R-E-D, and you can get Fractured on Amazon.com. It is an anti-fracking novel. It's fiction, but it's based upon fact. My first book, The Evolution of a Revolution, that is also available on Amazon.com. I am going to continue to write for Huffington Post as long as they will continue to publish my articles, editorial scrutiny notwithstanding. But I'm also going to just say, Maya, for inspiration to writers, and certainly what gives me inspiration is I write about contemporary political issues, and I usually write when I'm in a fit of pique, when it's something that I feel so strongly about that I just have to weigh in, and the extent to which I can utilize not only my common sense, but the experience and the knowledge that I have in politics and public policy, and the goals of having public interest, and the public interest being served is what generates most of my creativity. So the key to writing is to express yourself in a creative way which addresses things that you have an enormous amount of investment in.
All right, Maya, thank you for that. Let me ask you, the next time you write, you offer something up to the Huffington Post, and let's say again, it cuts a little too close to the bone, you're flying a little too close to the sun. I mean, at what point are you going to say, you know, enough is enough?
Well, you know, the interesting thing, Richard, is you can always get unintended consequences from doing something which you know is going to get you probably get your wrist slapped, but which has the unintended consequence of them bringing more attention to what it is that you're trying to do. So I believe that it's fair to say that probably more people have seen the article that I wrote that was pulled from Huffington Post because of the fact that they pulled it than would have seen it if they had just published it. So I'm not going to stop putting forth controversial positions or controversial but certainly well thought out and logical arguments on issues that affect large numbers of people. And if they want to continue to do battle with me in a way that smacks of censorship, which I think is antithetical to everything that they actually purport to be, if they want to do that, then so be it. Hopefully it'll get more attention.
Well, now you've dropped down the rabbit hole, Lance. I mean, I'm guessing that this is a theme that you have explored in Why Our Children Should Hate Us, this is a theme that you're going to continue to plumb. You're going to continue to pull at loose threads, and I can't see how you can avoid running afoul of the Huffington Post and their firewall. I mean, do you think that Arianna Huffington owes you an apology?
I think that the Huffington Post owes me an apology. And let me just say, Richard, that I wrote an article the day that I got the emails back from them, basically telling me why they had pulled it down. And I wrote an article which was entitled, "Does HuffPo Have the Guts to Reverse It?" Essentially, taking them to task one more time and asking them to admit that they made a mistake. I am going to continue to do what I think is important and what is right. Whether I get an apology from them, I sincerely doubt that I will. Huffington Post, by the way, Richard, once again, you know, we can go back to conspiracy here. Huffington Post is now owned by Verizon. Okay. Whether this makes any difference or why my article was flagged or not, I don't know. I'll leave it to the listener. But Verizon has on its board of directors a former chairman of Merck, which is the pharmaceutical corporation, which has the patent on the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
The rubber hits the road.
That was implicated in the Vaxxed documentary by the CDC senior scientist whistleblower. So, do I think that there is a potential here for running afoul? Once again, assuming that I don't just lick my wounds and go away and never write anything controversial again, I probably will go afoul. But the more I can do to shed light on this, I think the more effective I can be as a voice of good governance and good treatment.
All right. Ray is in Modesto, California, in the wild card line. Ray, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Richard. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you for your comments about the problems with giving science too much authority, and also expressing your lack of approval for this idea that the science is in, especially when it comes to the human body, and especially when there are people that are trying to use this science to take away our freedoms. Our freedoms to decide, you know, what goes into our own bloodstreams. You know, recently I just read that, I can't remember the name of the university, but there's a research right now going on that suggests that Alzheimer's disease might actually be caused by an immune response, that the immune system sets up these webs within the brain, and the byproduct of this immune response are these plaques that cause Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, I think any academia that is basing all of their research on the Newtonian model of science is in its infancy. I think when we will really know what's going on with the human body, there'll be much fewer syndromes, and we'll also be open to other types of science like quantum physics. Can I make one more statement?
Yeah, but make it quick, because the sand is running down.
As a former liberal and who's now a libertarian, I just wanted to say one thing. You know, progressives are always the ones that bring up this stuff, and God bless them for that, because not many people on the right do. However, I really disagree with some of their solutions. You know, corruption has two parties, one public, one private. If you focus only on the private and don't focus on the public part of it, you're going to have the wrong solution to that problem. You know, I don't think any American should ever ask anything more of his government than it's free, than for freedom to act, you know, within the law, to live their lives within the law, and protection, their rights being protected, and, you know, their freedoms being protected. The problem is, people want too much from their government, and in what progressives don't realize is when you take government out of that role, what you end up with is all this corruption, and the government actually weaken its role. That's the irony. We have people in the government actively trying to take away our rights when they are there to protect them and doing all kinds of other stuff that, you know, is really not their role, and I think that's the problem.
All right, Ray, thank you for that. Lance, a final word?
Government's got to do everything it can to fulfill its solemn responsibility to protect the interests and the welfare of the public and the public citizen. And to the extent that that's not being done, it needs to be rectified. It needs to be fixed. And that's what I'm trying to do, is restore the balance between the public and the private interests in a world that's dominated by money and greed and power of the purse.
One of the calls that we didn't get to, and I apologize for this, but it's John in Boulder, Colorado, has a good question. It's kind of a nice final point. Having worked for government, he asks, how does it feel to have government corruption used against you?
Look, government corruption is bad regardless of whether it's used against me or used against someone else. So I have fought it through 40 years of my time in the public service. I was played an instrumental role in the documentary Gasland Part 2, which was an award-winning documentary against fracking. And I was characterized as the insider. I was the whistleblower, so to speak. So, look, I have fought government corruption all my life, and I don't care what party or who's doing it. As long as it does not serve the interests of the public, it's wrong, and it ought to be called on the carpet, and it ought to be taken care of.
I really want to thank you for the last 2 hours. I've enjoyed our conversation. Can you leave us with a website?
Yes. You can go to my website, L. Simmons. And it's SIMMENS.com. And once again, I would be remiss if I didn't ask your readers or your listeners, I'm sorry, to please take a look at my anti-fracking novel entitled Fractured, which you can get on Amazon.com. And I would ask you to please take a look at that, and you'll get, I think, some insightful comments and a storyline on an issue which is absolutely essential to our future, which is to reduce our reliance upon fossil fuels.
All right. Lance, again, thank you so much for this.
Richard, thanks so much. It was really, I had a great time talking with you and look forward to doing it again.
Likewise. Lance Simmons. Okay. All right, look for that banned article, Why Our Children Should Hate Us. And I guess we should thank Huffington Post for their short-sightedness and helping to magnify the popularity of that particular article. When we come back, past life regression therapist Dr. Elena Gabor, and in the final hour, a past life regression live on the air. We're going to work without a net, and we'll hope for the best. Here's Pat Bennett. No, this is Kim Carnes. What am I saying? Kim Carnes, Crazy in the Night on Coast to Coast AM.